Yes, this is Daniel King with the Daily Inspiration. Just want to bless each one who has called in here for the ministry here. Pray that God would feed you with his living water. I'd like to have a bit of a theme here for the inspiration today, and that is that verse that may seem like a bit of a mystery to us. I would like to bring some light on the verse, something that the Lord has been laying on my heart here. I'm reading in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. I guess I'll start at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And then again in the second epistle of John, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. I would like to shed some light on this verse. I have often wondered, with a scripture so clear as that, who would ever be so bold as to say that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. It just seemed like every person that would even in any way accept the Bible as truth would certainly not make that mistake, because it seems like something like that would be so clear. You know, it's so clear that if we confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, we are of God, and if we say that he is not, we're not of God. And that verse has been a bit of a mystery to me, because to me it's pretty easy to say with your mouth that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. There's nothing complicated about that. And so it led me to believe that there is surely a deeper meaning in here. There's surely something for us to look at here as to why that is so important. And before we go too much farther, I would like to also read in 2 Corinthians verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul is in the middle of explaining about some of his life and some of the challenges he was in. And he makes this statement in verse 11. He says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." So it's saying that Paul is suggesting that he's continually dying. The reason is that so that Jesus can be made manifest in his mortal flesh. And this is the little picture I would like to give this morning about the bodies that we have that are only mortal, They are a vessel for us to have for a season until we pass on to the real life, the quote, real life. This is only a temporary life. This is, in a sense, just a little prelude to the real thing, if you may call it that, this life here. It's the life to come that really bears significance, that really bears reality. This life is only like a vapor. It's only temporary. So the body that we have here is only temporary. And this is what I would like to propose, is that our bodies, I have noticed already, each person has unique a unique body. There seems like there's no two alike. It's a little bit like snowflakes. And so some bodies are big, some are not so big, some are wider, some are more skinny. And if you study faces, you have all kinds of interesting designs and personal touches that make each face unique. And so it is with the rest of the body. Our bodies are all unique. It's not like we're, you know, stamped out of a rubber stamp where each body is the same. Each one is unique. Each one is interesting. Each one is fearfully and wonderfully made, as the scripture says. And so I had to think of it as, if I may say, an assembly. Let's just look at a vehicle, at an automobile factory, where there are a long, let's just picture a long row of drivers. And then each one of these drivers is waiting for a car to roll off at the end of the assembly line for that driver to then get in and drive. So, and let's picture that the cars that are rolling off are, everyone is different. You know, let's just picture every vehicle that is known around the whole world would be in a big mixing pot, and they would, you know, roll out of the assembly line in all shapes, sizes, colors, types, makes, models, year. You know, everything you can imagine. And then they'd have these drivers that are waiting there to drive them off and to use them. That's the little bit of, might be a little bit of a crude picture of what I'm trying to paint here with our bodies. We are souls that are created and made by God, and we are given a body for a season to use, to express, and to make decisions with. In other words, it's the manifestation of our soul. And so what I'm getting at here is, here comes Jesus Christ down from heaven. Every person that has ever been given a body from the beginning of time until now has been given a brand new body and a brand new soul at the same time. Now, the body is temporary and will last. Some have only lasted an hour. Others have lasted over 100 years. And, of course, in the early days before the flood, some have lasted over 900 years. But eventually, every body came to an end and was no longer needed. So my point is that there's only one circumstance in time where there was a body needed where the soul was not brand new. In other words, they had a brand new body, but the soul was not brand new. And that was when Jesus Christ came into this world. I believe that the body that Jesus functioned in, lived in, and used while he was here on the earth was a body just the same as yours and mine. A body made of flesh. And I believe that, you know, the DNA could actually be traced back to Mary. And, of course, the father of that body was the Holy Spirit. And so, of course, it was not Joseph. But the point I'm trying to make is that the body that Jesus had was a real human body, the same as you and I possess. And so it's kind of the long way around to explain that I believe that if we do not believe or look at it that way, I don't think it has to be looked at in that perfect scenario. I tried to explain it in a bit of a crude way. But what the problem is that we'd run into is if we do not believe that Jesus Christ lived in a body the same as yours and ours, then we will very quickly make excuses for the failures and the disabilities and the handicaps that we like to use in our own lives. And so, you know, we hear things like, well, when Jesus walked on the earth, he had special powers because he was God and because he was Jesus. And yes, I think we would all very readily acknowledge that. But I would like to propose here today that Jesus, when he died on the cross and when he rose again, his plan and his desire is that he would ascend back to the Father, and then he would send his Spirit, and his Spirit would be available for every person who receives him by faith. So my challenge here, or my point in this thought, is that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is available for every person who desires it, who accepts it by faith. And then through that, Jesus Christ can then use your body and my body the same as he used his own body when he walked on the earth to perform his will. And so now we see that it is possible and capable for Jesus Christ to use my body and your body in the exact same way as he used his own body back 2,000 years ago. And then all of a sudden, now a verse becomes alive that says in the gospel that Jesus is saying that we that walk with him will be able to perform all the things that he did plus even greater things. And I believe that that means that everything that was done by Jesus Christ while he walked on the earth is possible for him to perform in the lives of his followers. And actually, it has been proven already that every act that Jesus has done while he was on the earth has been repeated many times over by his followers. Maybe I haven't heard of one person who has experienced everything, but if you split it up a bit, you can soon realize that, you know, every miracle, everything possible that Jesus did while he was on the earth has been repeated and performed by some other individual by his Spirit living in them. And so I believe that's the heart behind this truth, that it's so important that we believe that Jesus Christ was in the flesh, because then we can also believe that Jesus Christ can use our mortal body the same as he used his own. And so then it becomes alive here in 1 Corinthians 4, back to that verse again in 10, it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body or mortal flesh. And so that has been a great challenge for me, a great encouragement, but also a great challenge and a great responsibility, almost like in a sense of fear comes upon me as I reflect and ponder that, to realize that Jesus Christ actually wants to use my body the same as he used his own body. He wants to use my hands and my feet and my tongue and my eyes and my ears the same as he used his own to perform his will. And what was his will? It was to bring hope, the gospel, healing, forgiveness to the nations, to all people, to be a servant. And to perform miracles and things. So that has, and then also, of course, it's the verse becomes alive there in Romans, where it says that we are to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices for him. And so it makes it clear that the best way for us to live our lives with the smallest amount of regret when we stand before God is for us to die and for Christ to live in our body. For us to stand back and say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you will. You be the one in charge. I'm going to stand back. Allow you to use my body for your glory and honor. So if you have any thoughts or anything to add to this, or any corrections, I realize this is a bit of a deep thought, but I do believe that God wants us to be stewards of the word, and to, you know, that our eyes can be open to what he wants us to receive from his word. God bless you. God be with you. My name again is Daniel King, and I look forward to sharing more throughout the week here.